Well, all of this in heaven too. Amen.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, the Lord willing. But the meeting's been good, good preaching, good fellowship, good food, good time. Amen. I've had everything but a good night's sleep. Amen. I'm honored to be here. I like it around here. I don't know about you. I told somebody the other day, if I wasn't in the perfect will of God where I am, I'm liable to move to Maryland. Amen. Some places I go, you couldn't pay me to be there, but I just like it around here. Amen. You must too. It's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank God for the fellowship. Love Brother Sexton. Church likes preaching.
Yes, sir.
And I enjoy preaching here. I don't think I'm going to be long, I'll be honest with you. I don't intend to be, but we preachers know how that is. But I was praying the other morning, and the Lord spoke. I don't know if I quoted some scripture when I was praying or what, but something just jumped off the page with me and to me and at me. And I've got a hearing aid in my ear. It sounds like I'm in a barrel of monkeys. Amen. When you get old, there won't be any hearing aids in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Elizabeth shouted with a loud voice, and that word there is megaphone. So maybe the Lord will speak loud enough where we can hear Him. But our hearing will be perfect when we get there. Amen. But I was praying the other morning, and the Lord dealt with me. I have probably got half a dozen messages out of Hebrews chapter number 12. And some of you heard. My daughter said, "Dad, I've heard you preach on the race of faith so much, I could preach it myself." I said, "You ain't qualified." Amen. And a preacher called me the other day and said, "I heard you preach years ago on the runners in the race of faith," and said he wanted that outline. But I'm not preaching on the race of faith, and I'm not preaching on the runners necessarily. But I want you to look at Hebrews 12, and I will try to be brief. I enjoy the fellowship and the food, too, in the meeting, don't you? Thank you what we've heard from you men of God. Y'all have helped me, and I appreciate it. I want to read the first three verses. We could read several more, but for the sake of time. Verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now I'll stop there for the sake of time. Father, Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you for the great meeting that you've given, Lord, to preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for unction and liberty that you've helped these men of God preach with. And I thank you for speaking to my heart. And I ask you now these next few minutes, Lord, you'd give me unction and power and liberty and preach to me the thought you burden my heart about. And I pray it fall upon some good, fertile ground tonight. And Lord, we'd all get some help and we'd intend and purpose tonight, as Brother Fraser preached, that one day we're going to be there with you and enjoy the forever in the presence of the Lord. We love you. We need you. And I pray that when it didn't come tonight, Lord, that you continue to deepen that conviction, that burden, that heart. And Lord, may they not leave this auditorium, this sanctuary tonight, outside the grace of God. May they come and be saved by your mercy. And we'll love you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Like I said, I have preached for it numerous times over the years. But in my study 2 or 3 days ago, and some of this today, over in the room that the church has provided for us. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." That thought there in the latter part of verse number 3, where he said, "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." And that jumped off the page at me, and God dealt with my heart about lest ye be wearied and faint. And if we had time to go down to verse number 15, he said, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Now, I don't use that little word "lest" very often, if ever, in my limited vocabulary. And so I looked it up a while ago at the motel, L-E-S-T, the little word there in verse number 3, and also in verse number 15, and here's what Mr. Webster said about it. It's a conjunctive word. It's a conjunction meaning "for fear that." And it also said used to express fear or danger or caution. And it says it ties you to what has previously been said. Now, that's a lot of work for a little word, L-E-S-T, amen. But it's a conjunctive word like "and," tying, and "wherefore" there in the verse number 1. "Wherefore" takes you back to chapter number 11, of course, and all of those Hebrews that we read about and the heroes that are back there. But nevertheless, that little word "lest," it said it expresses fear and caution and warns us to take a look at what has previously been said. And so I want you to look at that little word, "lest ye be wearied and faint." And then verse number 15, "lest any man fail of the grace of God." Now I want to preach that for just a little while. Lest any man, and that includes all of us, lest any man faint. And I don't want to faint, do you? I thought about the Apostle Paul, and I've got a message on fainting. I've got about a half a dozen tonight. I don't intend to mess up all of them or preach them all. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1, he said, "Having received this ministry, we faint not." And then he got down to 2 Corinthians 4:16, and he said again, "We faint not." And we know tonight that there are a lot of people fainting, and men of God that have been my heroes down through the years. And I've gotten to be an old man, and a lot of them's already gone to be with the Lord. But there were some of them that fainted, broke my heart. I've wept salty tears over those that fell and fainted and ended up having fallen and getting their life and family in a mess, the church in a mess, and all of that. And I hate to get on that note. Maybe I'll, before I get through, Brother Frazier, I'll get Hobab fixed up and get him out of the crowd and get him in the altar. Amen. But nevertheless, tonight, there's a lot of folks that have fallen. You know that as well as I do. Breaks my heart. As a matter of fact, last week, or a week or 10 days, I've heard from two others that had me supposedly supposed to preach until Jesus comes, and they've gotten messed up, and men are falling around us like flies. And you get in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. I read that today at the motel. There are men in there that fail. There are men in there that fainted. And there are men in there, neighbor, that God said they were heroes, but none of them were above fainting. None of them were above falling. And so that's the warning. I guess probably it was for me, and I'm glad God spoke to my heart. I do not want to faint. I do not want to fail. And by the grace of God, I have no intentions of falling. Amen. I want to finish right by the grace of God. And I hope that you do. I've read the last chapter. You've read the last chapter. We know how this thing's going to end up. And I want to be in the parade. Praise God, don't you? I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so let's not faint. and let's not fail, and let's not fall. And I will add this before I give you these three verses that the Lord has given me in Hebrews chapter number 12. Failing is not fatal.
Right.
Are you listening? Failing is not fatal. You can get up. Fainting is not failure, and fainting is not fatal. If you fainted, you might be helpless, but somebody can help you get back on your feet if you'd allow us to do that or allow them to do that. And so it's not fatal, and it's also not final. There's things you can still do. You can get up and brush yourself off. All of us have had to do that. I'm not talking about being disqualified and all of that. I don't have time to run that route tonight. But I'm telling you, if you have failed God, if you have fainted by the wayside or you have fallen, you can get up and get back in the race and do things for God. And so do that tonight, Hobab. If that's you, you get straightened out and get some help tonight out of this meeting. That little word less there, the dictionary, and I don't preach out of the dictionary, but he said it ties back to what has previously been said. And so I would say this tonight, I'll get into my three and I'll be through in just a moment. I believe God told them how to keep from fainting, how to keep from failing, and how to keep from falling. And he said that in verse number 3. Here, less ties us back to the A part of verse number 3. And it said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And said, consider Jesus. And here, I want to try to preach tonight, lest we faint. I don't want to faint. And the reason I don't want to faint is because I love him. And the reason I don't intend to faint is because I want to consider him. And you either tonight will consider Jesus or you'll probably end up being a casualty. The Bible did say in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21, that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Follow his steps. I added the end in there, but follow his steps. So if we'll get our eyes on Jesus in verse number 2 of Hebrews 12, he said, looking unto Jesus. And then he said in verse number 3, consider Jesus. And I believe tonight with all of my heart, if we would learn the lesson in Hebrews chapter number 12, I believe we could keep from falling. I believe Brother Joe mentioned this morning about the Bible saying in the book of Jude that he is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless, amen, when we stand before him. So we don't have to fail. We don't have to faint. We don't have to fall. But I think this is the secret to finishing right. The Apostle Paul did, and others have finished right. Would you let me say this? I jotted it down in my notes, and I really don't like to use notes. I try to commit to memory what I'm trying to do and let the Holy Ghost do the rest of it. And that's my gear, and doesn't have a thing to do with your preaching. Amen. But nevertheless, tonight, I believe with all of my heart, if we would consider the Lord, and consider what he's told us and what we ought to do, we'll find out that we don't have to fail, faint, or fall. We can finish this thing right, and we'll be glad we did. Amen. Those things that Brother Fraser mentioned a while ago, that Hobab, if I got his name right, Hobab, if what he was preaching about he could have received or could have gotten on down the road, how much more you and I that are saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you what's waiting for us. Wait and see what's waiting for those that finish right, those that do right, those that end up right. Paul said, thank God, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither's entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So make up our mind tonight to finish this race and hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He did say, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. And honest before God, that ruling part doesn't, I know that probably applied to the Jews, but that ruling part, it's not near as important to me, Brother Wells, as that part of hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I had a little short preacher about 5'7". I think he wore 6½ size shoe. We got saved, got in his church. I'm telling you, he's mean as a junkyard dog. And of course, I like to sit up front, and he'd get in my face and preach the word of God to me. And he said, "Reins," and put that finger in my face. Said, "You want to hear Jesus say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant'?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you better be good and faithful, because he ain't going to lie when you stand before him." Amen. And so I made up my mind, like me and Joshua and my family, we're going to serve God. I have every intention of finishing the race that God has set before me. Amen. And I don't have time to preach on that set, but God's got a will for your life. God's got something divinely appointed for you. Probably before the foundations of the world, my Bible reading this morning was in Jeremiah. Amen. And God said, "I knew you before I ever formed you in the womb. I had something for you to do." And so when God saved you, he's got a responsibility and a course that he wanted you to run. And you ought to make up your mind, "I'm going to finish that course by the help and the grace of God." Probably a lot of things that you could add to it, but I want to primarily look at this point that he used in verse number 3. "Consider him," that's Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Some say "least ye be weary," but I think the correct pronunciation is "lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Look with me at verse number, I would go to 2 Corinthians 4. I'll not take my time to do that tonight. But in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Firstly tonight, if you want to finish right, lest you faint, lest you fail, lest you fall, don't get contaminated with the things of this world and the things of the flesh. We are in the world, we're not of the world. We are in this world rubbing shoulders with the world every day. You work in it, you young people go to school and it's there, probably like no other generation has ever had to face an encounter of this social media stuff and everything that's going on today. That we do not have to be contaminated by the things of this world. You can live a victorious life in your flesh if you'll notice what Jesus did. The Bible said in this book, Hebrews 7:26, that he, Jesus, was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. That does not mean he didn't love sinners. That does not mean he didn't try to win sinners. As a matter of fact, that's the crowd he worked with. Amen. That religious crowd's the one that nailed him to a cross and crucified him and spit on him. But nevertheless, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. If you want to finish your course and finish and hear Jesus say, "Well done," I put it this way: don't become contaminated. And we know Jesus Christ, and I got some scripture on his deity. I'm not going to get into that. And I don't think he could have sinned. Praise God, I believe he is God incarnate in a body of flesh. But here's my point tonight. He said in verse number 1, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." And I've gotten studying a little bit different than I did the first 52 years of my ministry. I've gotten to reading this Bible a little bit more closely. And he said, "The sin that does so easily beset us, and keep a running that race that's set before us." Are you looking at verse number 1? He said, "Lay aside every weight and the sin." Do not become contaminated. You can't run a race, going back to another message I preached there, you can't run a race. When they run a race, they take off everything the law allows them to, and probably go beyond that. You know they do that. They strip down everything they can strip down and grease up and shave their head. And I remember years ago that a young man could have finished, the coach said he could have won the Olympics if he'd have got a haircut, but he wouldn't get a haircut. And his long locks cost him a second or two on the swimming, and he didn't win the Olympics. But nevertheless, they do everything that the law will, rules will allow them to do that they might come in first place. And so if we're going to finish this race and please our Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," He said, "Lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset you." That word beset, it means to hedge up, hinge in, and to keep you from going on and doing what you could have been doing. Don't get a bunch of weights hanging on you, and don't get a bunch of sin in your mind, your heart, your life. You'll never finish right if you let those things creep into your life. We all are in a body of flesh. We all got an old Adamic nature. I get meaner than a junkyard dog. That's why I have to pray, read, and stay close to God and try to stay away from the world, because the old man swelled up. I got that from my daddy. My wife says that she didn't know my dad like I did, because when I was raised and got away from home when I was 17, but nevertheless, she didn't know him like I did, but I sure got a whole lot of him in me. Reigns us pout. I guess that's why I'm an independent Baptist. Amen. I fit right in the crowd. My dad had come in sometime. He's a big man, a lot heavier than I am. Worked like a mule cutting timber in the woods. But he'd come in and be sitting on a couch. I got to hurry. Lord, help me not to run too many rabbits. Amen. But he'd be sitting on the couch. My mom would say, we had seven of us kids. Mom would say, "He's going to pitch a drunk." She's married to him 56 years. She knew him. My wife's been married to me 58 years. She ain't learned me yet. Amen. And I ain't figured everything out about her yet either. But my dad has set pallet up. He'd do that for a day or two. Then he'd leave and be gone for 3 or 4 days, a week, drunk and a monkey, stay drunk for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, spend everything he had, and they were out there watering, come home, ribs broke, eyes black, knots all over his head, fist skinned up where he'd been out in those beer joints and dives up there in the mountains of West Virginia. And he would get a pouting like that and sit around. Well, I get that way too sometime, and probably you got some characteristics about you that the Lord's not too happy with. But I'm telling you, the reason it's different between me and my dad, he went to the bottle and I run to Jesus and tell him, "Lord, I need you to help me. I'm about to have a pouting spell. I'm about to blow up. I can't stand it." You ever got upset with your church? You ever got upset with a deacon? You ever got upset with a brethren? You ever got upset about anything since you've been saved? Well, I have, but I tell you what I learned to do with it. I learned to take it to Jesus and tell Him about it and consider Him. Now, Jesus, He said, "Be angry and sin not," the Bible does. And we know that He turned the tables of the money changers over and all of that and cleared out the temple. And Lord gave me a message on that here a while back. But here's what we have to do when God deals with some kind of a sin in our life. Lord puts a finger on something in our life displeasing to Him, and some would say, "Well, those weights are not necessarily sin." Well, if you're going to listen to that, you're probably going to end up in a whole lot of trouble. But when God puts a finger on some weights in your life and tells you you could be a better Christian or a better preacher or a better man of God, I'm telling you, we better listen to Him very closely and obey what He tells us to do. Thank God for light. I, by the grace of God, I try not to refuse any light that God gives me. Now, that'll make a funny feller out of you to some of your family, and they'll think you've gone off the deep end and you've gone crazy, you fell off a turnip truck and bumped your head real hard and don't know where you're at. But listen to me. When God puts his finger on, you call it a weight or a sin or whatever you want to do with it, when he puts his finger on anything in our life as men of God, as men, women, boys, and girls that are saved by the grace of God, you young people, listen to me. If he puts his finger on it and deals with you about it, for God's sake, lay it aside, leave it behind you, and don't let it contaminate you. It'll just manifest itself and get worse and bigger and heavier, and it'll weight you down to where you'll never finish what God saved you to do. Are you listening to the preacher? Don't become contaminated with the things of this world. And I could name 1,000 of them. I really don't have time tonight. I am trying to hurry. But don't be a contaminated vessel. You want to be a holy vessel, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. Get those weights out of your life where you can run. Get that sin out of your life where you can run. You may be different from the crowd that you're around, and you may they'll look at you, and you may lose a so-called friend or two. But I'm telling you this, it's more important to me not to faint and not to fail and not to fall than it is for somebody to make fun, laugh, jeer, mock at me. They did the Son of God like that. And the Bible said in John chapter number 15, that they hated him without a cause, and the servants no greater than his Lord. They've hated me, they'll hate you, Jesus said. So get that out of your mind. Just make up your mind, Lord, you put your finger on it, you deal with me about it, I'll forsake it, get rid of it. And the Bible said when we confess and forsake, we'll have mercy. Amen. So I said in verse number 1, as God dealt with my heart about it, there was a compassion passed about with a great cloud of witnesses, so many watching, and they were witnesses unto us, I think, as Brother Joe said this morning. But he said that sin that so easily besets you, those little things that creep into our life, and I'm not going to take time to just start naming them, but whatever, if you're God's child, you belong to him, you're indwelt by the Holy Ghost, I will say this, I've been saved 53 years, and I've never seen one time that the Holy Ghost didn't put his finger on it and say, that's not right, son. I can't get by with anything. I cannot speak to somebody the proper way that a man of God should. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost rebukes me and reproves me and deals with my heart. And I'd rather be rebuked and reproved rather than scourged. Amen. So I'm going to lay it aside and get rid of it, get it behind me, and keep this vessel. And I'm not pointing any fingers at me. I'm not up here on the Richter scale, so don't measure yourself by me. But I'm telling you, that if you get contaminated, you are not going to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We think we're going to leave this world and everything's going to be hunky-dory. We're going to be singing and shouting forever and forever. But there is a judgment seat between here and there. And we must give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Are you listening to me? And if a man defile the temple, the Bible said God would destroy it, that temple. So we need to watch and not become contaminated. Like Jesus, he said, consider him. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, neither was any guile in his mouth. They searched him with an inspection, I'm telling you, and they couldn't find one thing wrong with him. They all must have been Democrats. Amen. Verse number 2, don't get contaminated. Look at Jesus. Be like him. Strive to be like him, would you? I want to be like him. You Democrats, don't get mad at me. Republicans are so crooked they could crawl through a barrel of fish hooks and wouldn't one hang on them when they come out. So what are we supposed to do? You tell me and we'll both know. Amen. Don't get contaminated in verse number 1. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, that's Him in verse 3, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that implies He finished what He came to do. All right? In verse number 2, so keep your concentration right. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, keep your eye on Him. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of your trials, sometimes He'll explain what He's doing. Sometimes He doesn't always explain what He's doing. But I'll tell you what we better learn to do. We better learn to keep our eyes on Him. And when the storms are raging and rolling, and the family sang there a while ago, God has His way in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. When you're in a storm, you can't understand what's going on in your life, you had better keep your focus right and keep your eyes on Him, or the devil will begin to whisper and lie, and neighbors say, God's not treating you right. Isn't this some payday for you tithing and supporting mission? Isn't this some payday for you trying to raise your children right, and you don't understand what's happened? Things going on in your life, preacher trying to honor God and preach the truth and try to help people, and they're despised and rejected by that congregation. You just remember Isaiah 53, and our Lord was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and they hid as it were their faces from Him. Neither did His brethren believe on Him. He came unto His own and received Him. His own received Him not. Keep your focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for men of God. We got examples. I've had some good ones in my life. I thank God for every one of them that lived right, did right, make up their mind they're going to end up right. But I'm telling you, you better get your eyes on Jesus and keep them on Him. Looking in verse number 2, so keep your concentration right. Jesus came into this world, virgin born, of course, we all believe that, know that, I hope you still do. Born of a virgin. He spoke to His mother in Luke 2:49, I think it is. And when He had been separated from them, and they found Him in the temple, discussing the Word of God with the crowd there, the doctors and the theologian. And He said to His mother, and He wasn't being disobedient or disrespectful, He said, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I've got to be doing what the Father came in, sent me in this world to do." My Bible reading was in Isaiah. I finished it. I'm in Jeremiah. And Isaiah said, "He'll set His face like a flint." Jesus was born into this world, set His face like a flint to go to Calvary and to bleed and die. And the world and the flesh and the devil did everything, tempted in all points like as we are. We could get in a good fight over that statement. But I'm telling you, the devil got Him in the wilderness on that 40-day temptation and trials in those wilderness, and He offered Him the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy, said, "Get thee behind me." We all know the story. Tempted in all points like as we are, not to prove that He would see Him, but prove that He couldn't see Him, as far as I'm concerned. But are you listening to me? Keep your eyes on Him. He did know sin. He would not sin. He could not sin. And you make up your mind, I'm keeping my eyes on Him. He is our example. I'm going to follow His step. Peter said, "Having not seen Him, you love Him." But He said, "He's precious to you." And He left us some steps that we can follow. And it'll bring you through the wilderness. And you'll not be contaminated if you'll keep your concentration right. So many distractions in the world today. When I pastored almost 36 years of my life, lived in the pastorium about 15 years, right around the curve from the pastorium, there's a house, and my family had one of these little horses that pull the carriage, and racing horses. They pull a carriage and one rider in there, whatever they call that stuff. But I watched them preacher train that horse, that little, I pulled over beside the road and I just watched him. Had a circle, a fence circle out there, maybe an acre and a half, 2 acres or something, and that little pony would just be giving it that. And that man would have his son or some of the family hid there behind the post or in behind a bush. And when they come up there around where he was, he'd jump out in front of that horse and rattle some keys and wave a white flag or whatever. And that little old pony would jump and buck. And but after a few days, Brother Wells, I kept watching that pony. He kept training him, I've seen that fellow jump out. I think he had a ring of keys making a noise, and he wrung those and shook them in that pony's face. He never turned his head to the left hand or the right hand. He kept that neck set like a Tennessee walk, a three-gated walking horse, and he just kept going around that track. A few weeks later, Brother Joe, they had a big 4x8 sign out beside the road. World champion or some kind of whatever they call the thing. That little horse followed the leadership and the training that he got, and he won the championship. I want to win something for Jesus, don't you? Don't get contaminated and don't get distracted. Keep your concentration right. Was everybody falling? So many falling. Did I say many have? Some will. But all won't. Everybody ain't gonna fall. David did. Samson did. I got in the heroes in chapter 11 over the room a while ago. And I'm telling you, there's some in there, but they all got distracted. You know what got Samson, didn't he? He got his eyes down towards where Tim at. He wanted one. He didn't want one of those independent Baptist girls. He wanted one of those from Timnath, if I got my history right. My mind doesn't fail me.
Yep.
We know David, come time for kings to be at war, and David's not out there sighting that sling in and getting ready to throw the stone. He couldn't sleep and got up on the roof, and he got in trouble by the lust of the eye.
Amen. That's right.
And Brother Billy said before, it wasn't a tinkling of the water that got him. It's that lady who's in the bathwater is what got him. He got his he was distracted. His attention was gotten away from what God called him to be, the greatest military king probably it's ever been. I know that Israel ever had. David was a man of war. But he got distracted. He'd been better men than I am and you are, that the flesh and the world and the devil has got them. All you have to do is just let your life get cluttered up.
Amen.
All you have to do, get your attention off of what God called you to do. You get to be an old man like I am, and I'm telling you, it's worse on me now than it was when I was a young man. You say you're talking about running off with a woman. I'm not talking about running off with a woman. I couldn't run very far anyway. I couldn't get far enough away from her and she'd kill me. There's more to it than that. Are you listening to me? Don't get distracted by the little trinkets of this world and the things of the flesh and get excited about temporal things. Seeking first the kingdom of God. You know all the verses I could quote to you. But just keep looking to Jesus, the author. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. The author and the finisher. The founder and the finisher. He started it. He can finish it. And he intended, when you started, when he started you, he intended by the grace of God to help you finish what he gave you to do. He did the Apostle Paul. I'm going to send you to the far hence to the Gentile, and you're going to suffer great things for me and all of that kind of stuff. Paul got down, and I'll get ahead of myself, and I'll quit in a minute. Down there in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He had some Demases and he had some Jannes and Jambres and all those men in his ministry and things in his life. Probably had some Hillaries and some of those in his life. But he didn't let them distract him. Paul didn't. He made up his mind, I'm going to finish my course. And he wrote those epistles and told those young preachers, you get in there and you live for God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Live for God. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get distracted by the world. And so the Lord told me to preach tonight, don't become contaminated. Don't lose your concentration in verse number 2. And then in verse number 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And I use that for confrontation. We're in a battle.
Yes, sir.
He's called us to be soldiers.
You're right, yeah.
He wants you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We could preach on a soldier. You've heard message after message on preaching about being a good soldier. And Paul wrote to young Timothy and said, God called you to be a soldier, son.
Yes.
I think Timothy was a little bit timid according to 1 Corinthians when he closed out the chapter there in chapter number 16. But nevertheless, Paul told him, you're a soldier and you make up your mind you're going to stay clean, keep your life clean, and finish what God's got for you to do. There's going to be confrontations. I don't like them. I've been accused of them. I've been accused of everything I guess you can think of. I don't think I've ever been accused of trying to run off with a woman. And I don't recall anybody starting that tale on me. And you're too late to start now, so I need to start at night. But there's confrontations. We're going to cross grain. If not upstream, head on, we are going to cross grain of this world. There's going to be confrontations in churches. There's going to be confrontation between the brethren. Just make up your mind, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do, how he told me to do it, when he told me to do it, where he told me to do it. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. We know he was a Prince of Peace. And he endured a contradiction of sinners against himself. Who, according to John 15, who would hate Jesus? Who would despise and reject? Well, I can understand rejection. Hobab, I can understand that rejection. He's got his sights set too low on the things of the world and all this temporal stuff. It'll get the best of you. But the Son of God was despised and rejected of men, and he had controversies in his life, and you're going to have them. But don't let that get you out of the race, get you out of the ministry, get you out of the church, get you out of touch with God. The Lord will fight your battles for you if you'll just be patient and wait. He endured a contradiction of sinners. And I wrote this one down a while ago, Brother Frazier, while you was preaching. What about the consummation? Let us run the race as set before the author, the finisher. I see a consummation in there. And Jesus, when he spoke on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, it is finished. John 17, he said, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Paul said, I have finished my course.
Amen.
And this thing, you'll be glad you did. Now, would you listen to me for just a minute? Serve God for 50 years. I've been preaching 52 years. You wouldn't know it. I know that. But serve God all these years. And then lose your testimony and lose those things that you've laid up through the years serving God, trying to raise a family, be faithful to God, and then become foolish in your old age the way Solomon did. Solomon was old when he got in trouble. Outlandish and foolish women stole his heart away from God. Listen, preachers, we that are older, Brother Jones, it would break my heart if the report come out that you would just give it up and said, what's the use? I'm through with it. You bless my heart today when you preach. Thank God for you.
What a blessing.
And there's people watching us that are older.
Amen.
You young men coming up the road, there are some men you can look to. There's still some men that believe the Bible and love God, and they're going to do right in spite of whatever happened. But you listen to me. We that are God's men and we that have got a job that the Lord wants us to do, let's make up our mind tonight. When this thing is over, the trump of God sound, dead in Christ rise first, and we'll caught up together in the clouds and meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's make up our mind when the last shot's fired and the smoke clears away, God's going to find us faithful.
Amen.
Me and Brother Wells have gotten pretty close over the years, and I think we've probably got maybe even closer since we're both not pastoring, and we've been in some meetings together. But I remember Brother Wells, I don't know, three or four or five years ago, we were talking, and I told him, I said, from this day forward, it's Jesus in everything. I intend to be sensitive and obedient to whatever God tells me to do.
Amen.
Brother Wells said, I've done the same thing, yes. Brother Larry.
Yes,
so why don't we tonight make up our mind?
Yes.
I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to fail God. By His grace, I'm not going to fall. I'm going to finish the course God set before me.
Amen.
Lest we faint.
Yes.
And that word, lest, look it up when you get time. I never had looked it up. It has a meaning that expresses caution and fear. I'm afraid of falling, Brother Billy. And you're one of my heroes. You're the only preacher my son thinks can out-preach me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. But he does. He loves you. And he'd rather hear you preach than hear me preach. And I'd rather hear you preach than hear me preach too.
Yeah.
Let's make up our mind. Let's finish right.
Yes.
You young families, the Brother Turner, well, you reminded me of me about 50 years ago. My son's 56. My daughter's, don't tell her I said so, but she's about 50, I think, something like that. But we used to get up and sing. Boy, I was tickled to death to sing and preach and serve God. Going to watch my family grow up and live for Jesus. I wouldn't trade anything in this world for that. Will you listen to me? He had never been anything that would attract my attention to the point that I'd forsake my family and the ministry and quit what God gave me to do.
That's right.
We got any Joshuas in here tonight? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God.
Amen.
We got any Apostle Pauls in here that just make up your mind, I'm going to finish my course. I tell you how you're going to do it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Things you don't understand, things you can't change, things that you can't comprehend, you just trust Him. Keep your eyes on Him. He loves you too much. Somebody said, listen to Brother Raines preach, and I guarantee you'll hear him say, He loves you too much to do you wrong, and He's too wise to make a mistake. So let's finish right, would you? Thank you, preacher, for letting me preach.
Let's bow our heads for a minute while Sister Grace plays. If the Spirit of God has challenged your heart tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to do business with Him.